Let's stand. Stand with me if you're able to, please. We will look at spiritual gifts. By the way, if we should have this on the shelf over there. Anybody have this book called Living Water by Pastor Chuck Smith? Some of you guys do? Okay, a couple of you guys do. This is a great book on gifts of the Spirit. Every chapter, you can actually look at it just the same thing as this list here. Every chapter is on a different gift of the Spirit. Great book. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are going to start reading from verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Verse 8, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." Father in heaven, we ask that you would please, again, open up your holy word for us. Help us to understand these things. These are supernatural things, not natural. These go totally against what we've ever learned for decades in our lives. We all want to know the gifts that you've given to us, and we want to be able to see them as they might manifest and be exercised through different people in the body of Christ here and wherever they are around the planet. Help us to see, Lord, what these things are so we can tell what's from you and what might not be necessary from your Spirit. But teach us these things. Help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you guys could have a seat if you would, please. Pastor Chuck Smith wrote in this book, like I mentioned, Living Water. I have it on this display here, but here's what he wrote. "I do not know of any subject concerning which there is greater ignorance in the church today than the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This ignorance occurs on both sides of the issue. On one side, some people lack the understanding that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available for the church today. On the other side, some who revel in these gifts display a strong lack of knowledge concerning their proper scriptural exercise. All the gifts of the Spirit seem to be manifested at Corinth," that's the book we're looking at here, "yet they were being abused. That is why Paul wrote to the Corinthians to correct these abuses. And for that, we can be very thankful because he left us with crucial guidelines for the proper use of the gifts." That's Pastor Chuck Smith Sr., again, from his book called Living Water. We have a copy on the shelf. If anybody needs one, even if you can't afford it, but you want a copy, let me know. We'll make sure you get one. There's also in PDF form. But one of the things that we need to know about these gifts, even as we study this book called 1 Corinthians, what was true about Corinth as a church in that city is still very true about Christians today. Whether us as Christians or the Christian church at large globally, there's still a great deal of ignorance today regarding spiritual gifts. And by the way, I shared this earlier with the servants in our Sunday servant meeting time. I'm going to share this slide with you here today. I'm not going to go through it in depth, but when you do a word study of the Greek word that God used, it's the word agnoeo. Anybody here hear of the term agnostic? Who here's heard of someone say, "I'm agnostic"? I'm not atheist, I'm agnostic. Okay. What they're literally saying is, "I'm ignorant." So think about that next time someone tells you so proudly, "I'm agnostic." What they're really saying is, "I'm ignorant." But that's the word. The Greek word is agnoeo. And when you look at it and do a word study going through the entire Bible just with that one word, you find that these are the seven key areas, that I'd like to call them, that God warns us to not be ignorant about today. These are seven keys. I'm just going to read them. The goodness of God, dead to sin and a new life in Christ, righteousness through Jesus Christ, Israel in the end times. Number 5, spiritual gifts, what we're studying here today. Satan's tactics of unforgiveness. Anybody struggle with that? We all want to receive God's forgiveness, right? Who here loves God's forgiveness? Some of you guys do. Not everybody. We all love that, right? Who can confess? It's tougher to forgive others, right? So we all struggle with that. And you got to know that Satan's tactic is to use unforgiveness against Christians in the church. And last but not least, the rapture. There's great ignorance today in the Christian church regarding these issues. So what do we need to do? I want to be able to enumerate them, to look at these, and to splash this out. Okay, so it's on our YouTube. I think we live stream this even on Facebook. It's on the slides. By the way, just so you guys know, try to go to our YouTube channel versus Facebook. Facebook lets everybody know, including all churches, Facebook Lives. Anybody know what a Facebook Live is? I got to know my audience. Not everybody understands social media. So Facebook Lives only live for 30 days on a Facebook page. A lot of people still don't know that. That's something new. So if you're like, I want to go to that one from 5 years ago, even ours, we got tons of stuff from the past, and I taught on how to do lives and those kind of things. They last only like 30 days. So go to our YouTube channel, if you would. But anyhow, moving forward, these are some of the areas that we need to know so we can study, share with one another, and not be ignorant, but be in the know. Amen? We need to know these things. So then moving forward, we want to be able to teach on these things. And today we're going to be looking at number five here, spiritual gifts. But do, if you would please pray for me, because in my own personal study time, this is where I came up with this list. I'm like, God, these are things that the church today is very ignorant about. These are some of the top ones. And it's God knew what he was doing when he was almost prophesying, it seems like, about what the church would be ignorant about today. There's a lot of great ignorance. There's a lot of abuse. Pray for me, though, because I'm pondering whether I should teach on them, maybe do some videos on those things, write about it. But we want to be able to help Christians. So I'll leave it at that. So moving forward, if you have your list here, we're going to go through this again. We're going to talk about, look at this, getting back to the Bible here, verse 8, as these gifts are manifested, it's a manifestation of the Spirit. They're given to each one, and notice it's for the, what does it say in your text in verse 7? For the profit of all. They're meant to be given to you for God to work through you. So guess what that means, church? That means they're technically, they're given to the church, predominantly used in the church or for the church. Can't I use it when I evangelize, when I'm doing other things? Yes, but we gather together to fellowship, to study God's word, to pray for one another. But this is where you get to practice. Make sense? You guys know that? Okay, so know that. We want to pray. We don't want to just do an intellectual survey of Scripture. You need to know these are supernatural gifts. And maybe some of you are like me, where I'm very analytical. I'm an ex-computer guy. I'm a nerdy, techie, geeky guy. Anybody else like that? Very analytical. Okay, you might find it tougher than, if you're like me, maybe you're better than me, you might find it tougher to go, all right, I understand when you say, I need to love you with my mind. But remember, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, the inner man, the inner person first. Third, he says, and mind and strength, what you do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. You might find, like I do, that it's sometimes tough to embrace the supernatural because sometimes this thing gets in the way. Okay, so everybody do this. Put your finger here on one side of the temple. Put your finger on the other side of the temple. You are pointing to your problem many times. Sometimes my head gets in the way. It's like, no, it can't be. I used to not be a believer in things like gift of tongues. That's so wacky. Some would say when you're looking at and trying to decipher who you are on the team or in the group, you could look at, say, a group of people. Say, like on Star Trek. Any Trekkies here? Okay. There's one. It's a couple. Who here's heard of Star Trek? Okay. I'm not preaching on Star Trek, but some would say, okay, who are you in the series? Think of like the original series. Or even like, I think it was the next one called Next Generation. Oh, sometimes I feel like I'm kind of like Spock. Or will they replace him with Data? I'm the person, I'm more computer-minded. If it doesn't make sense, if it's not logical, it does not compute. And it's hard for me to understand the supernatural because I'm only stuck in the natural, and I'm not going to let the living water flow. Anybody else like that? Yeah, that could be your challenge. I think that's for all of us. You got to find a healthy balance. Remember he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, the inner person. And third, he says, mind. So we don't want to just worship God intellectually. It's, yes, it's all about Bible study, but that's not the only thing. It informs us, how God's word informs us how he might move. So you could check if something is really authentic, if it's valid from the Holy Spirit, or is it unholy flesh. So you can't go based off of, I feel it. Okay, that's flesh. My emotions. Oh, I feel good. I had enough coffee. Got enough sleep. Can't do that. That could be flesh. How do I check and authenticate if something is a valid move of God? You can only check and test it by and through and with the Bible. Amen? Okay? The grass withers. That's us as people. We're here today, gone tomorrow. The flower fades. Just, woo, fades away. But the word of our God stands forever. God's word never changes. So what he said, even in that passage in Isaiah chapter 40, which today is maybe 2,600 years-ish ago, it still stands today. Think about that. How many generations and centuries people, billions of people died, their plans even to eradicate God off the planet or out of the hearts and minds of people or eradicate God's word, guess what? God's word is more prolific today. The world's best-selling book is still the Bible. All right, so these are supernatural things, and we need to learn to love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Make sense? Okay, so that's what the Bible teaches. So this gift we're looking at, just to kind of recap a little bit and discuss it a little more, this first gift, if you take out your paper here, this just helps you to see. And again, even if you're going to go through Chuck Smith's book, which I highly encourage you to do, I can't write better than him. I think this is the best book I've ever seen and read on the gifts of the Spirit. The first one's Word of Wisdom. You'll find that as he describes the gifts. That's one of the first gifts that's mentioned in one of his chapters. So Word of Wisdom. Again, the Word of Wisdom, it's a supernatural ability to speak God's wisdom. It's a word of wisdom. It's a wisdom that comes supernaturally and directly from God, not natural. You don't have to go to school. You don't even have to have read it. It's like, I know it, I memorize it, and now let me speak to you a word of wisdom. No, you can speak God's wise words, but that's not the supernatural spiritual gift called word of wisdom. It's supernatural because it comes directly from God. Just, boom, he might use you to give a word rightly fit for that moment to minister to a person, or maybe it's to make a decision for something within the church, or even with your family at home. It's a supernatural thing. It's not a learned thing. It's not an experiential type of thing. Those things can help, but those things can also hinder when God's trying to get you or the person you're ministering to take a step of faith. Because typically we might give our own wisdom based upon experience or something that just sounds nice. This person's not going to be my friend anymore if I tell them that, God. Anybody ever encounter those types of things? And you know it's God breaking your heart. Anybody else? Am I the only one? I don't think I'm the only one, right? And that becomes your own little test with God. You want to hear from him? And we sing these songs, right? I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. You really want to hear from him? Well, when he does speak to you, obey. And one of the great things of reading and studying the entire Bible within context is that when you do validly hear from him, you've already trained yourself by reading his word to know how he speaks, so that if he does speak to you, you'll know it's him. So just because someone quotes a Bible verse, does that mean it's from God? No. Did Satan himself quote God's word to Jesus? Yes. So be careful of that. Be careful. So this is a supernatural ability to speak God's wisdom called the word of wisdom. It's simply a supernatural gifting. You might say it's directly from God's mind to yours. It's not, oh, I read about this in Proverbs or Ecclesiastes, the wisdom scriptures, and this is what you need to do. That's good, and that's ministering. It's ministering God's word, but that's not the spiritual gift called word of wisdom. That's just, you educated yourself and you're giving them knowledge. Make sense? Okay? Knowledge rightly applied, especially in a biblical sense, could be wisdom from God, but that's not the spiritual gift called word of wisdom. You can find it in the Bible. Last time we looked at Peter, you could, you know, watch the video from last week or get the download for the message. Acts chapter 2, where Peter's preaching. We're not going to cover it today, but you'll find this gift used all throughout the book of Acts. How can this be used today? You might find the gift of word of wisdom used in ministries that require biblical counseling. Some churches, some groups, some ministries might even set up a biblical counseling type of ministry to give biblical advice. And that's, yes, that's what we give here. When I spoke to a church insurance person when we first moved in this building, I sat across the street in Arby's, and there's a guy that came as insurance rep. We're like still unloading the truck and stuff. We just started moving in here. This gentleman looked at me and he asked me, and this is a person that's the administrative person. So I'm thinking they're going to kind of scope me out, and they're wondering, why should I and should I or should we give you insurance? You know what they asked me? Something to the effect of, how do you do your counseling? And I looked at them, because I knew this is like a lawyer talking to me. I looked at him, I smiled. I said, I'm not a counselor. And he looked at me. He says, you're right, you're not. I passed the first test. You know why? Because if I would have said, oh, I do my counseling like this, thank you, we'll call you, don't call me, they wouldn't have given us church insurance. You know why? That term counselor is a legal term. I'm not an attorney. I'm not a counselor. And I'm not a marriage, family, child counselor. I looked at this guy and I said, I give biblical advice. He's like, oh, okay. We'll insure you. Why? Because if I give you advice that comes from the Bible and you don't like it, well, what are you going to do? Sue God? It's like, I didn't write the book. No, I mean, that's very safe, but I'm telling you literally what we do. So what do? I give biblical advice. I can be a biblical counselor, but technically, and that's, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not an attorney, I am not a counselor, even with that term just separated by itself. We almost did not get insurance that day. So what do? We get biblical advice. So if you're wondering here, it's like, well, whether or not you have the gift of word of wisdom, well, at least for me, pray for me, because I want to hear from God. I want to know the Bible so that I can give biblical advice. I'm going to give you what God says, because that's what you want to know. Amen? You don't want to know what I say. You want to know what God says. Make sense? That's why you're here. That's why the Holy Spirit brought you in. Holy Spirit's not going to bring you in to hear what I have to say, but I need to point you to God. So it might be used in a ministry that we might call biblical counseling. Okay, pastors are often given this gift because they, just like how I need to pray for me, we need to give people God's word, God's advice, God's wisdom, but not just psychology. Here's what I used to do, or experiential. Oh, this is what I did, and I think you should do the same thing too. And a lot of pastors throughout the years, I've even heard of some that I've known or heard of, have gotten into trouble because maybe they start giving financial advice, and then they get sued. Think about that. And then they lose. Why? Because a pastor gives out spiritual help, not financial help. You can go to a tax attorney or talk to someone about your stock trades and all. You ask me, it's like, you know, I can refer you to some people, but I'm not going to give financial advice. I can give biblical advice, and that's what not just pastors, but you and I as children of God, the people of God, we must do. Amen? Give out biblical advice. Don't give out your advice. I remember learning from Bob Hoekstra, if you can stay within your lane as a Christian, not a pastor even, as a Christian, you've got two main sources of strength. What do you think those are? It's a question. Okay? The Holy Spirit and the Holy Word. The Spirit and the Word. That's it. So when you're quoting people or telling people stuff to do, even if it sounds very Christian-esque or giving them Christianese, God helps those that help themselves. Anybody hear of that? That's definitely not a word of wisdom. That's foolish advice. That's not biblical. Where is that in the Bible? Nowhere. Right? Why do people fall for that? Because they're not reading their Bibles. They're not knowing the Bible. And people fail, and then they want to sue that person. So you're not going to hear that from me. Okay? Pray that God gives me great wisdom. And then for all of us, that we would simply point people to the strength of the Spirit of God and the wisdom or advice found in God's Word. Amen? The Spirit and the Word. I remember learning that from Pastor Bob Hoekstra. You You go in with the Spirit of God and the Word of God as a child of God, you're safe. You walk out of that, even if you quote something or you're saying something as a, I'm a Christian, I'm going to say this, I'm going to claim it in Jesus' name. Is there any guarantee that God will have to, oh, let me stop everything, I'm going to come over here because you're my child? No. That's not found anywhere in the Bible. So God will not uphold your word. And that's why you find many Christians fall. Well, they said it. That person's, they have a Bible. They said they're a Christian. But we need to give people biblical advice. Amen? Don't give people your advice. Point them to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And believe me, when you do that, let me just say at this junction, I've even encountered sometimes hate from Christians. Endure it. Endure it. Those that are right on with God, they may get upset at first, but later on, if they want to go their own way or take the trashy advice of the world, they're going to crash and burn. And then later on, they'll come back to you. Okay? And I've had people come back to me and say, thank you that you just pointed me to God. We had some students, I remember one of them was a dear sister now, but she would take some of my classes in Bible college, and I remember her telling me later on, she's like, Drew, we, her and her friend, we used to be so mad at you because every time that we would ask you something or ask you a Bible question or ask you advice, you would never tell us, but you'd always point us back to God and the Bible. She says, thank you for doing that, because she just wanted a quick fix, and she just wanted to know what to do. And later on, she realized that, number one, like John the Baptist, they came to him, are you the Messiah? What does he say? I am not the Messiah. So you'll have people come to you, and we got to be careful that we don't have that, as we might call in the world, a Messiah complex. Ooh, I have a psychological desire to tell people or people to come to me. There's a lot of people like that. Be very wary of that, and be careful if you find that well up within yourself. Make sense? But you just want to point people to the Lord and to his word. And as you do, you're safe. There's going to be people that are going to float around until they find someone that's maybe of authority or someone that's been a Christian longer than them that's going to tell them what they want to hear, not what they need to know. And they're going to be upset at you. I know that happens here. People will call into church. Can you marry two guys or two girls? No, that's even our bylaws. We can't. We won't. And that's beyond, above and beyond that. I'm going to die and have to answer to God. That's sin. Okay? So I don't want to just bend to culture. I have to stick with the scriptures. And you should too. Amen? Not because I'm a pastor, but because God is my Heavenly Father. And I'm his child. And I want to obey what he says. And we need to as well. Amen? So give out his advice. Stay in that lane. Just giving out advice from God's word. Quote God's word. Or know the Bible enough that you could speak its principles. God's word will stand as people fall. And point people to the power of the Spirit that they can apply these things. All right, so continue on. You could also use this gift in areas like spiritual leadership positions within church. It's obvious. Church boards, pastors, elders, women's leaders, men's leaders. Every place in the body where someone needs some kind of biblical wisdom that comes from God. Wisdom that comes from above is peaceable, it's pure, and it comes from the Lord. There's no variation or shadow of turning. God's not going to flippantly change his mind today versus tomorrow. By the way, if you get someone that says, God told me this today, and later on it fails, and tomorrow they change their mind, guess what you know about that person? Number one, they didn't hear from God, did they? Does God ever fail? God never fails. Okay, so sometimes you're going to hear that, and just be careful. And weigh everything by and with and through the Bible. All right, so our church, we need people that are gifted with this spiritual gift called Word of Wisdom. We need that today. We need people here that can exercise God's words of wisdom. I know that there's a lot of you that you'll come, you'll have maybe a prayer request, you'll want to have maybe advice on something, and I could point you to God's word. Sometimes God will, I don't know why, but sometimes he'll give me a word of wisdom. And sometimes it'll be through other people. But we need that. You need that. Every church needs that, right? Just like your own body. Look at your body. Look at your body. It's okay. You guys are scared to do it. Look at your body. Your body, when you have something like a cold, you heal yourself from within, right? That's the illustration, that's a metaphor God greatly uses in the New Testament church, a body. So just within, just like it is within this church body, God's going to use you, the church body, to heal, to help. Does that make sense? So many of you are probably given this gift. You just got to allow your surrender to the Spirit, allow yourself to be used of the Lord. And when you do, don't be surprised when the Spirit of God actually brings people to you. Like, I haven't been a Christian that long. Yeah, but you might be gifted in this spiritual gift, the supernatural quickening, and you have a very mature God that lives within you when you're born again. And can God use you even though you feel like you're very young in Christ? Yeah, he did it with me. And I was so amazed. I'm still amazed that God would use me. There's no reason why he should. Remember, these are gifts of grace. It's because of his grace. Will you allow his grace to pour through you? All right, look at this again in verse 8. As it says, going on, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Again, only one Holy Spirit. He's given out these gifts. So the spiritual gift called word of knowledge. What is it? It's knowledge given to a person supernaturally to know something. Something that that person would have no way of knowing. You could say it was knowledge given from God's heart right to that person. It's a supernatural. They had no prior knowledge of that. It comes supernaturally and directly from God. It's not a naturally learned knowledge. Oh, I went to school for that. Oh, I know how to do that. That ministry is for me. It might not be. God might want to use someone that has no background, no education, and could barely speak. But to empower that person, that he would use their heart and their mouth to give a word of knowledge, so that who gets the credit, who gets the glory and honor? God, not that person. God will share his glory with no man. So when this gift is exercised properly, it could bring a wonderful fear of God upon the church and the hearts of the people. Word of knowledge. Now, this is one that a lot of people today, I found, a lot of Christians aren't open to. Please be open to that. I'm going to share some slides with you. This comes from Acts chapter 5. If you wonder, where is this gift used in the scriptures? Here's one of the places. Acts 5. You guys have heard the story. Peter, we're going to see, is operating with this gift. Acts 5 on the screen. This is slide 1 of 2. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? By the way, it's not that people then or even now had to sell everything and give it to the church. That's not the point. The point is they were lying. They're being hypocrites. They wanted to make themselves look good publicly, and God was outing them. God was showing them what was going on. They had collusion between husband and wife and what was going on with them behind the scenes. And the question that should go on with our heads and hearts is, how did Peter know? He didn't know. This is called the gift of word of knowledge. Verse 5, then Ananias... let me read verse 4. I can't remember if I read it. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to who? God. Okay, so it was a thing of lying to God. And this is also one of the proof texts that the Holy Spirit is who? God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. Notice what it says here. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in. Here comes Sapphira. She had no idea. She had no clue what happened with Hubs. She came in not knowing what had happened. Verse 8, and Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. She said, yes, for so much. Was she lying? How did Peter know? He didn't. This is the gift called word of knowledge. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. You can imagine. I imagine there's probably a gasp. Like, and then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. Notice again, verse 11. Please, 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 please pay attention. This is what God wanted. Verse 11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. So again, I color-coded it here in the bullet point. How did Peter know these things about Ananias and Sapphira? He didn't. This is a spiritual gift called word of knowledge. So notice how this gift called word of knowledge will be used by God. It's used to bring a fear of God. Now, there's a lot of us Christians will go, God exists. I believe this is his word. But I don't know about a supernatural moving of his in my heart and life or around me or even through me. And I struggle with that. Anybody admittedly struggle with that? I have and I do at times. Clinton's only one of us that can admit that? Okay, there's two of us here. We all struggle with that. Know that there are some gifts, including word of knowledge, that are predicated upon you knowing how to hear the voice of God. And there's a large part of the body of Christ that will say, no, you can't hear from God. I like that movie. It's called God's Not Dead. If God lives within you, guess what? He's going to speak to you and speak through you. You'll find that all over the book of Acts. Think about that. Or John 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. He also says, my sheep know my voice. Or what about the last days church we find like in Revelation, Church of Laodicea. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not talking to non-believers. You'll hear that in evangelism. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. He's talking about having intimacy, fellowship with Christians. That's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. So there are spiritual gifts, supernatural gifts that are predicated upon you knowing how to hear from God. Spend time with the Lord. Read his word. Read throughout books of the Bible so you get the context of the text. Amen? So as you read and get to know the entire Bible, look, if my daughter, Christina, she's 13. If she could read the entire Bible at 13, in the English New King James Version Bible, do you think you can? Yes. We all should, right? So that if he speaks, when he speaks, then you know how he speaks. Because you've already prepared yourself by getting God's word in. Listen, your job is to get God's word in. And it's his job to bring it out. But he can't bring it out if he ain't got it in there, right? You got to read his word. Let's continue on. We're going to have to close here in just a bit. So you'll find that this gift is often used even by teaching the Bible. Many times you'll hear Chuck Smith mention in his book, I can concur with that, even though he's dead and gone home to glory, they'll play it on Calvary Chapel Radio out here on the Bridge FM. You might listen to something that was recorded years ago, and it's like, bam, God just nails you. Does that happen with anybody? How is that? That's called the gift of word of knowledge. Listen, there's a couple weeks ago, someone came in, a gentleman by himself, never met him before, he didn't know anybody here, came in, never saw him since. And I was teaching through 2 Kings, and he came up to me afterwards, one-on-one, and said, he said something like, that was spot on. This is exactly where I'm at. How did I know? I didn't. That's why we pray, God, bring people in that need to hear the message. And this is one of the great reasons why when you go into a church that teaches through books of the Bible, nobody can say, oh, my wife told you that. Right? Because we're just going through a book. I don't know you. You just came in and never knew you, but God knew, and he wanted to talk to that person. So in my heart, I'm thinking, praise the Lord. God, you nailed him. That's what he does. Okay. So pray that God brings in people that he wants to, I guess at times, get hit with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. That's sometimes how it'll happen. Real quick story. And I want to share a couple of things, not all the time, but, you know, with you guys. I want you to know how it's used. This is just how God used me in a couple of times. You can share your own stories with each other. I remember when God had me sell a house. I had a house in Tustin, California. It's Orange County. Nice place. Great place. Didn't want to sell it, but I believe God was telling me to sell it. Okay, so I got rid of it. I moved into a place, and now I'm like, great, now I got to pay rent. Not a mortgage, paying rent, living with three other guys. I was living by myself, and now I'm paying rent, et cetera. And I pulled all my stuff out of the house, mostly sold most of the stuff, got rid of it. But I had this nice black refrigerator, double door where it opens this way. even better than the one we have right now. And this is a long time ago. And I believe God was telling me, I want you to give this to so-and-so. They need it. It was a young gal who, I think they're just going through a divorce. She had two little kids, a little boy, a little girl. And it was breaking my heart because that reminded me of my mom. That's how I grew up, with just my mom, me, and my sister. And I'm like, this is a young gal. I can't just give her this. She's going to think like I'm trying to win some favors with her, right? That kind of sounds weird, right? That's where I was. But God was breaking my heart. I'm like, going to prayer, my typical prayer. God, what do you want me to do today? It's like, listen, I told you. He's like, oh, yes, sir, but I can't do this. I remember talking with a friend of mine. It's like, I think God's wanting me to give this thing away. Can you help me? Because it's a big, bulky, heavy thing. And I remember my friend's like, oh, no. You know, she's going through a divorce. You're not hearing from God. I'm like, get out of my way. I got to obey God. That's just my attitude. And I went to tell this person after a period of time. I'm like, man, I finally got the guts up to tell this person. I'm like, look, I'm not doing this because I'm trying to win favors or anything. I'm just trying to hear and obey God. That's it. And I really want to keep this fridge, but I think he's saying, this is yours. And right away, this sister's like, oh, that's interesting. Because the other day, like, she came over at our house. We had, like, a Bible study and fellowship going on. She's like, I was walking down the stairs, and God told me, that's going to be a refrigerator. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. But it still was very awkward. For me, it was a test. Okay. Now, that was, I didn't ask for it. You might classify that as a word of knowledge because I didn't know this person at all, really. And I didn't know that she had, it was like her and her kids just moved out and then they need a refrigerator. I had no idea. So this is often how it might work. Okay, so if you leave this place and God's breaking your heart to give something away, don't blame me. Okay, He might do that. All I'm saying is know how to hear from God and simply just obey. Okay, so that wasn't me. I would say that might be called the gift of word of knowledge. And God was simply testing me. He does it over and over. So be careful, too. There are fake usages of this gift. We're going to have to close here in just a bit. But I do want to make sure that I can equip you, because when it comes to this spiritual supernatural gift that is called word of knowledge, it's often abused. And in this city, it's greatly abused, sadly. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what God says. 1 Thessalonians 5, look at the context. I'm going to go verses 19 to 22. Do not quench the spirit. Well, what are we to do? He goes on to say, do not despise prophecies. Okay, let them flow. Someone says, I got a word, or God told me this, or I prophesy. Okay, here's what you're to do. Test all things. Don't test it against your opinion or your feelings or emotions or moods or thoughts. That could be fickle. That could be the flesh. Test it against God's word. What does he say? Hold fast what is good. If you find that something is from God, hold on to it. Abstain from every form of evil. So if someone says, God put on my heart, God told me, God says this, and it did not come true, what does God say? That's evil. Avoid it. Abstain from every form of evil. That's the context of the text. Many times we just quote one little part, test all things. Context is, let it flow, test it against the Bible. If it's not true, it's evil. Get rid of it. You might have to stay away from that person too. Going on, Acts 17, verse 11. You know this one. This is speaking about the Bereans. These, or the Bereans, were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. Think of the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. In that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. As we might say, you need to be a Berean. Amen? Berea means well-watered. I like that. Be well-watered in the Word of God. So the people in Thessalonica, Paul had to write 2 Thessalonians because they not only received the message from Paul, a false teacher came in after Paul trying to unravel stuff, teaching false things, teaching heresies, and Paul had to write this book that we call 2 Thessalonians. They received it, but they received anything. Okay? It's like, don't just believe what you hear on the news, especially today. There is fake news. Anybody know that? You got to check it out, weigh it against the facts. Don't just look at a quote, look at the context of the quote. And many times you realize, wow, both sides, sometimes it's hard to believe what's going on. But with the Bible, you and I are forced to, commanded to, and we get a great encouragement here. Be like the Bereans. Search the scriptures daily. They did this with the Apostle Paul. So forget the false prophet the false teacher, they'll tell you, no, touch not God's anointed. Hey, if you check the Apostle Paul and the Holy Spirit's given, it's like a thumbs up, a kudos. Hey, that's great to the people of Berea. You must check what we say. Amen? That's how you're going to determine if someone's a false teacher or really teaching the Bible. Check it out. Weigh it against the scriptures. Search the scriptures. Here's what John wrote in 1 John 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. New Yorkers, do we have a lot of false prophets in New York? Oh, yeah. I'm not going to name them, but there's a lot. There's a lot going on. So Christians, you and I must know God's word. Test all things against God's word. If it's not from God, it's evil. Be a Berean and search the scriptures daily to find out if something is from God or not. Test the spirits against God's word. You and I have many false prophets around us in New York City. You got to be careful. All right, let's all stand, please. We're going to close with a word of prayer. If you guys have questions on this, later on you can let me know. Can you guys, yeah, let them know in Children's Church. They can come in. We're going to close in prayer, and then we'll partake of communion. But I want to encourage you to, again, be like the Bereans, search the scriptures, test the spirits. Just because someone says, God told me, or God put it on my heart, you know what they're speaking of, or they're speaking like? In the Bible, that's saying, I'm a prophet. Listen to what I say. They're trying to speak on behalf of God. But don't. Make sure you check it against the scriptures. This might save you. It might save your life. It might save your relationships. It might save you a ton of money. Check things against God's word and God's word alone. Amen? Father in heaven, we do pray that you would teach us and train us, God. We know that you tell us, don't quench the spirit. Don't despise prophecies. But you say, test all things. So the person that comes to us and says, God put on my heart, or God told me this, or God's saying this, help us to weigh it against your word. And if it's not fitting correctly with your word, Lord, we're to avoid it. Avoid the very appearance of evil. Help us, God. Help us to be careful with our words, to not so flippantly say something's from you, and thus speaking like a prophet. Lord, there are many false prophets that have gone out in the world, like John wrote in 1 John. Help us to test things against your word. But as we spend time with you, Lord, help us also that we would hear from you, that we would know how you speak. Knowing that this gift does exist, I know there's perhaps there's a bunch of people here within this church that are given this gift called word of knowledge. Oh, Lord, give them faith to hear from you. Give them wisdom even to know how to walk something out. And even if you wake one of us up at nighttime wanting us to pray for someone or something, Lord, help us to know that that might be that gifting that we call word of knowledge. That you'll give us knowledge maybe to pray for someone. Maybe someone's hurting within the body of Christ. Maybe it's someone else that's here, or even me, Lord. Help us to know what's from you and what's not, God. But give us your wisdom. Give us your discernment. Help us as we learn these things that we would be open for the supernatural as we live here in the natural. So prepare us, God. Help us as we continue on with this series. But Lord, speak to us. Help us, Lord, to glorify you and you alone. And we do ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.